I could not be more excited about this episode, and I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Background Noise, the Henson Family Podcast starts now. Let's go! Small departure from my normal intro. I am kind of excited. So let's just get straight to why I'm excited. Today, in the short history of our podcast, for the first time, we have a freaking full house.
Yay!
Woo.
All here.
All family members are present. And I'm not talking about nobody's on the phone. We are all here in person.
Live.
Sitting within feet of each other. So for me, it really doesn't. We could be talking about paint drying today and I'd still be happy because everybody's here. So let me go ahead and introduce some of the regulars that are with us normally. Amy Elise.
Right here. Hello, everyone.
Hello. And then we have our oldest daughter, Audrey Ray.
I'm back.
She is
again.
She is back. Then we have the little bit, Angela Kate.
Hi.
And then we have the sound engineer that just muted me.
Hands off the keyboard.
All the way from Lititz, Pennsylvania. Mom is telling me to slow down. Okay. All the way from Lititz, Pennsylvania, we have Anna with us because she came in and surprised Mom this week and surprised all of us.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. So that's Anna. All right. So I think, how's everybody doing today and how's your week been?
Quite tired.
Why so?
I woke up at 4:30 a.m. for work.
Okay.
I didn't.
Well, that's great, Audrey.
I slept from 9:45 to 7:15.
Well, good for you.
Since you said those times specifically, I'm guessing that is the amount of time that Eden slept.
Mm-hmm.
How is Eden doing?
Eden went down at like 8.
Give us an Eden update.
She's good. Just got her ears pierced.
That's awesome.
So, for people who are just listening, tell everyone who Eden is and how old she is.
She is my daughter.
Sweet daughter.
And she's 4.5 months old.
That's my granddaughter. Right. And your granddaughter, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a 9-month-old. She a big baby.
Weighs like one.
She a chunky baby.
Whoa. How do you really feel?
What? Well, that's a good thing.
She's got roles just like Audrey did. Mm. She'll grow into them. Okay, so I think we've got a good topic for us today. We're going to have coffee talk, and we're going to talk about our family's journey. I guess you want to call it coffee journey, how none of us liked coffee or I guess never drank coffee. And then all of a sudden, over time, now we're all drinking coffee. I guess you can kind of put an asterisk by me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that I drink faux coffee, but so I thought to kind of kick this off, I might, read just, I've got a few fun facts that I'll pose to the group and just see if you know the answers. Do you know what country grows the most coffee in the world? They produce a third of the world in the yeah let me back up and say that they produce a third of the world's coffee.
Brazil.
You looked at my cheat sheet, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
Is it Brazil?
I'm gonna guess Brazil as well, because
I think I'll guess Brazil too.
Is that your final answer?
I guess Brazil.
And by the way, Anna and I are sharing a mic, so she may sound different, and I might sound different over time. So okay, what country consumes the most coffee per year? I guess number of cups per person each year.
I thought it was us.
No, not according to the internet.
Is it a European country?
I want to say France. I don't know, but I'm going to say France.
No.
My manager asked us this at training and I forgot. She needs to listen. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
I'll tell you that Anna's going to be going there as part of the Metallica tour.
Europe. I have no idea.
Spain.
What country? Finland.
I was about to say that.
Mm-hmm. Finland.
Wow. I would not have guessed that.
Okay. What city in the U.S. do you think drinks the most coffee? More specifically, 7 times more coffee than other cities in the U.S.
New York City.
Yeah.
New York. Yes.
New York. This is what dreams are made of.
Why is that the song?
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. The most expensive coffee in the world as of 2019 costs about $600 per pound. It's called Kopi Luwak. Native to Indonesia, the coffee is roasted after being eaten, digested, and expelled by the palm civet. It's said that they only eat the very best, sweetest, and freshest coffee, cherries, and when ingested, it's naturally fermented, giving it a distinctive flavor. Would you try a cup of Kopi Luwak?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay. I didn't think
so. I would say no.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's coffee dew?
Yeah, it's coffee dew.
Okay.
Duh. Well, not to get off topic, but isn't mascara bat feces?
I've heard that.
That's true.
Audrey
now has a shocked look on her face.
We need to check that fact, if it's a fact.
All right. And then Americans spend on average $1,092 on coffee per year.
I believe it.
Except for Audrey. and then you would need about 37 gallons of water to grow a coffee bean. Mm. More than 1,300 gallons of water are needed to produce 1 12-ounce cup of coffee.
That's what you need to grow next.
Water?
What?
Coffee
a
beans?
Singular bean.
Maybe that's why Brazil, produces so much. Don't they get a lot of rain?
Yeah, the rainforest, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about our journey into coffee. We have with us, of course, the family and one former barista, one current barista, and 2 heavy consumers of coffee, and then myself, consumer of faux coffee. So
you need to explain what faux coffee is.
Tell everybody what you mean by that.
Okay, so when I started out, I didn't like coffee at all, and I would like going down the coffee aisle at the grocery store because it smelled good, and I always wished I liked coffee because it was always free at work. But I just didn't like it. And I generally have a problem drinking things that are hot anyway. And I know there's iced coffees, but I just didn't like it. So when Anna was working at Summer Moon, which we'll get to, she got me to try the, what was it?
Espresso
milkshake. And so I tried that and I really liked it. They normally comes with 2 shots of espresso, but I like mine dialed back to 1. And I said I would gradually work myself into 2, but never really got there. And then when we moved Audrey to Maryland, I tried the McDonald's caramel frappe for the first time, and I've just been hooked ever since. And so mom's told me that there's really no coffee in that. So,
well, I read that, so I don't know if that's true.
I think that is true,
but I did read that.
It's just a milkshake.
Well, it's darn good. So, but I do like a little bit of coffee in the espresso milkshake. So,
yeah. Well, like you had 1 shot, and then we were hoping you would progress to 2. You tried 2.
Ugh!
Like just, you could not do it.
It was just a little bitter. I mean, a little strong for me.
Yeah.
So
weenie.
Yeah. So how did everybody get in? Okay. So Anna, did you start drinking? I guess let me back up. Audrey, you tried. I know you tried your first coffee when you were 12,
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta in the CNN Center. I remember specifically because Lauren Isidore bought it for you.
I don't know if it counts though.
Why not?
It was either like the vanilla bean frappuccino. Yeah, a dad drink.
A faux drink.
Or like a chocolate chip one.
Yeah, those don't have any kind of coffee in it, right?
Well, I thought
if it does, it's very little.
It does, but
I don't remember if I'm assuming I got it with.
Probably so.
Yeah, that was my first one.
Okay.
But then I didn't really drink much after that.
And then
I didn't really get into actually drinking coffees until more of high school.
Okay. Did Anna have a impact or?
Yeah.
So Anna, let me scoot the mic over. How did you get into coffee?
Well, I think the first time I tried something, I was like, whoa, wait, that's actually good. Was Summer Moon. And it was me and Audrey that went. Audrey, I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was like you wanted to try this coffee shop because you like heard about it or like you tried it before. And then I was like, I'll go too. I don't think I'll get anything, but I'll go. And then you got like a mocha moon, which is like their version of like a mocha latte. And then I think I got like a hot chocolate and a cinnamon roll, you know? And then I tried a little bit of Audrey's and I was like, wait.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Pretty dang. And so since it, like that's where I was like, wait, this is actually kind of cool. I like this. And then I would go to work, like do school work there in the mornings before school. So I'd like get there right when they opened at 6 a.m.
I remember that.
And
that was your getaway.
Yeah.
Hook, line, sinker.
And so, and then I slowly, gradually just started introducing myself to like a little bit more. Like I'd get the mocha moon like Audrey, and then I'd slowly get less sweet stuff. Mm-hmm. And then here I am.
Yeah, I remember you would disappear to Summer Moon, and
I spent so much money there.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
We still do.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was there this morning and a couple days ago. So,
okay. So at some point, Anna, you transitioned and started working there.
Yeah.
And so when you started working there, it seemed like that's when it kind of changed for a lot of us in the family.
Yeah. I mean, we all love Summer Moon.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like your dad. I don't like coffee. Never have. And it doesn't matter if it's dressed up in tiramisu, you know, I didn't like it. Now it smelled great too, but I didn't care for it. And so, I guess it really wasn't until Summer Moon came around that I started, okay, so I'll try this or try a little taste. And, you know, it's sweetened and it's got
you had to mask all the good,
yeah, all the good stuff's in it. And so
it still took you a while. Cause I think at the beginning, yeah, it was like just the frozen hot chocolate.
Yeah, it was the frozen hot chocolate, and there's no coffee in it. And, but slowly, you know, I started trying it.
That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Angela, was it the same for you, right? Was it like,
I hated coffee. Yeah, because I remember you worked there. I hated it because I think you brought some drinks home every once in a while. And so I'd try coffee when I'd meet. Nasty, but I remember you got me to try a chai.
Oh yeah.
And so of course I didn't have any coffee in it, but I drank that for a while, like anytime we would go there. And then I don't really remember the first coffee drink there that I started to like. Maybe it was a quarter moon.
I think it might have been like a version of the mocha moon though.
Could have been a mocha moon,
and we kind of, you know, made it a little bit sweeter.
Yeah,
added like only did like one shot of espresso or something. And then you're like, ooh.
But honestly,
and the next thing you know, you just started.
I think it quickly progressed for me. Like after I got hooked, I like was full force. Give me the caffeine.
Yeah, you went from a pretty milky sweet latte to now not so sweet. You can even drink a drip coffee.
A drip coffee.
You can drink drip.
I don't do it black, but maybe like. Ew.
Milk.
But she can drink that. And so I'm not there.
It's not my preferred. I'm not there. I don't want to be
I'm a latte. And so, Anna, now, you had a friend at work that was selling a espresso machine.
Yeah.
And a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And it's a Breville. It's, of course, at this point, I don't know anything about it, but you ended up buying it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Brought it home. And it's no small machine. It's a big one. It's one of the big espresso machines. And so it's on our kitchen counter at home. But you didn't really take to it. I'm thinking because you worked with coffee all day, maybe.
Yeah, I was kind of impatient. I worked with coffee all day. So I thought I would enjoy, you know, being home making things. Mm-hmm. But by the time I'd be home making things, I didn't want to.
Because I think
we'd be like early in the morning and like I have a place to go and I'm like, okay, I need the machine to heat up.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. And then you have to have the right beans, you know, at the right grind and all that.
Yeah. It was just, I just kind of just bought coffee instead.
Yeah.
And I enjoy, that's one of the things is like, I enjoy like going to coffee shops, like the whole experience of like going to a shop, trying something, maybe like a signature drink that they have or something, and then getting the ambiance of the place.
Mm-hmm. And you can get those on YouTube.
What?
You can search coffee shop.
Can you try their signature lattes?
No, but you can make one.
You can make a fake ambiance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, you know what I mean. Yeah, there's an experience of going out and doing that, and I enjoy that. I think that's really what drew me to it. And so making it at home is just, that's just work.
Right, especially because you work at a coffee shop. The upkeep
with them is insane, so.
Well, I know the, so for a while after we got the espresso machine, it actually went in the attic for a while. Mm-hmm. And wasn't being used. And so, but anyway, I ended up getting it out of the attic. And so now it's on the counter, completely cleaned it and had to.
Angela, what if the cockroach was still in there?
Anna, don't even
think about it.
No, just think. No, it's not in there anymore. It died.
I don't know if you can tell, but she hates, absolutely despises cockroaches to a different level of most humans. So
anyway, let's not talk
about it. Yeah, we did. I cleaned it.
Air quotes.
Yeah. But anyway, so it kind of changed for me a little bit even more when we got the espresso machine. I started playing with it. And so I mean, I use it pretty much every day. I'll have maybe a latte. I'll make it home. And you're right. It is about the experience too. So I enjoy that time when it's maybe quiet, and I'll go get my coffee and go sit and relax. And so I do like that. And I do love the coffee shop too. I like going to a coffee shop, sitting and enjoying that too.
Mom, is the drink that you make at home different than a drink that you would order at a shop?
Yes, for me.
Explain.
Okay. So we're going to go back to Summer Moon because I love their Mocha Moon, and they have this magic milk called Moon Milk, and I just can't seem to make mine like that. I've tried, just can't do it. I don't know what it is. So I do like mine, but man, I just don't have the touch. But so I tend to make caramely ones at home.
Audrey, what's your go-to?
Lately, it's been caramel.
Mm.
No, I take that back.
Caramel.
Used to be caramel. Now it's more white chocolate.
You've been going after the white chocolate.
Is that when ordering at a shop? Because I know you have a machine now at your apartment.
It doesn't change.
You're just...
Unless they have like a featured flavor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like what was the one that you tried?
Like a seasonal one. I recently had a toasted macadamia.
Yeah. That was good.
Latte.
Yeah, so Audrey just came into a little bit of extra money, which is fun, I guess, with taxes or something like that. And she ended up buying a little espresso machine for her apartment.
And a grinder.
And so, yeah, so she's been enjoying that.
I used to have a Nespresso machine. Now I have a legit one.
Can you tell the difference?
Yeah, can you tell the difference?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Angela, what's your go-to?
Well, usually it would be oat milk, like an oat milk latte. I either do just vanilla or honey, but today I think I'm liking cappuccinos. I do almond milk cappuccino with one pump of vanilla. That was amazing. And so I'm going to do that for my shift drink at work because that was really good.
How much espresso is in a cappuccino?
For ours, it's 2 shots.
Okay.
And then about 5 ounces of milk. So
there's more foam in a cappuccino than there is like a latte.
Is that is that the main difference? I was just wondering about
primarily
that.
And I mean, they're in general a little bit smaller, like the ratio of espresso to milk.
It's a pretty strong coffee taste.
Stronger.
It was good though.
Yeah, those are pretty good. There was a while that I did a similar thing. It was like an oat milk cappuccino with like honey and then cinnamon dusted on top.
Honey is so good.
Yeah. That's still probably a drink that I'd go for. Or like that combo of like the cinnamon honey. That's usually one. Yeah. Or if I'm trying new coffee shops, trying their like mocha latte and just like using that.
That's
kind of like
good baseline.
Dad, do you have a go-to drink or?
Called McDonald's.
Or is it just frappe?
You know, right now, for me, it's I'm stuck on the frappe for, one, because I like it, and then two...
Yeah, they're good. I've had one.
Yeah, I mean, I like and just the cost of it, too, is, you know, is factored in, too. So, I know we were joking around yesterday, the other day, about me and Mom only having $3.10 in our bank account, and I could almost get one, you know, at McDonald's for that, so...
Or, you know, yesterday we went to this really nice coffee shop, great vibe.
I know where this is
we
going.
All got some lattes, we got some bakery items, and Dad, he had a nice big old Coke bottle that he bought.
Yeah, we all have our little coffees, and he's got his Coca-Cola.
It was really messing up Angela's vibe when she was trying to take a picture.
I had to move it.
This giant Coca-Cola bottle in the picture, so.
Yeah.
So I've got a question. So, Angela, you work at more of like a bigger chain.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna, you worked at Summer Moon, and then you worked at Dutch Bros chain. So what's the biggest difference between a Summer Moon type place and more of a, you know, corporate, quote unquote, corporate chain that's out there? I guess like a Dunkin' too. So I know Audrey likes Dunkin'. She'll go there every once in a while. So what's the biggest differences there?
Well, first off, I would like to say I love everybody at both of these places. I worked at both Summer Moon and Dutch Bros, and I had good experiences with both. Yes, they were very different. You know, your local coffee shops, they are not thinking about, like, mass production. It's more quality instead of how much can you get to however many stores you have. And you can taste it, like, smaller batches, roasted, everything like that. The quality and, like, the training that you get, like, training the baristas of, like, the small things that would make a big difference whenever you're, you know, pulling your espresso, that I've noticed, you know, coming from both, they're very, very different training, because their purposes are very different. Like, Dutch Bros is, how fast can you get everything out, which, you know, is important being a drive through and having those drive window times, but, you know, it sacrifices a little bit. But, you know, they had a goal and, you know, they reach it. Summerman does the same, just, you know, different goal. It's more of the quality and, like, the flavor, I think, personally, and the training that goes behind it and, you know, what they're using, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if Angela has anything that...
No, I'd agree with that. Like, training-wise, of course, I haven't worked at, like, the company I work at, it's not, like, a huge chain. Of course, we have a drive-through, so we do, like, prioritize getting things out fast. But I think we're a good mix because we also have a good, like, sit down. We actually have, like, a in-store, whatever shop that has, like, the aesthetic and stuff. But training, and then I know, like, nowadays, if you go through a drive-thru, I guess the smaller companies, they have, like, the more traditional drinks. And I think we talked about this the other day, like, a macchiato. Like, a macchiato at these smaller companies, it's going to be an actual macchiato, which is espresso and then a little dollop of foam. But, like, these bigger companies, they're going to go with
your caramel, like, macchiato.
The caramel macchiato, like, at Starbucks. Stuff. Yeah. So it's more, like, traditional-based coffee drinks at your smaller shops.
Well, I mean, and also, like, the smaller local places, like, your baristas have more, like, of a say, like,
yeah.
Oh, like, I think this would be a cool, like, drink of the month, or, like, being able to have those, like, competitions compared to, like, a very corporate, like,
is,
like, the standardized menu, and, like, you have to follow X, Y, and Z rules.
So probably a little bit more creativity,
yeah,
at your local shops, even amongst all the employees.
Yeah, like in Lidditz, so. There's this little coffee shop called Slate that I really like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like they'll have like their barista of the month and like have their like picture up on the wall and like their favorite drink that like they recommend you to get and like all like their favorite type stuff.
Yeah, they don't have
their local bakery items that they switch out every week.
Yeah, they don't have to follow the franchise rules.
Yeah, and so you can see the difference, and yeah. it's more enjoyable, I think, mm-hmm. if, especially if you're the person that likes to experience, like, going to get something, mm-hmm. so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a quick question for the two baristas.
Yes.
Is there one coffee story? And it doesn't have to be, you know, a customer, or it could be.
Or
a customer, or it could be, right? They're nameless, so. But just some sort of story that you could, that you could come to mind.
Good or bad?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, one of each, or just something memorable. And, you know, just something you remember.
I guess I can start off good. It's not, like, about coffee, but it happened at work, I guess. And so one thing, like, again, I said the place I work at, it's a good mix of, like, corporate versus a small company. And so we know our regulars. And it is fun to know, like, and get to know your regulars. And so I think I talked about this earlier, but a regular, they would come in, it's a cute little old couple, but they get the same thing every single time and we know their order.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so, like, we'll just start up conversations and stuff like that. And so the guy, he likes to bake. And so I like to bake, and he ended up, we have a conversation about it, and he gave me his sourdough starter. And so it's just little things like that,
how,
like, knowing the regulars.
How sweet is that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's one thing I do like, is, like, you see these people and you get to know them, and because you're there a lot of times when they're there, and you just, I don't know, you get to know them a little bit more.
And so, side story, mm-hmm. like 10 seconds worth, you're now making sourdough because of that.
Yeah.
So that's a great story. What about you, Anna? Can you think of just something that stands out?
I can't think specifically off the top of my head a customer experience. I bet I could, but at this very moment, one thing though is most of my friends that like I've grown really close to have been my barista coworkers at Summer Moon. Mm-hmm. Like, cause whenever I started, it was right before COVID started.
That's right.
And
yes.
And it was just a whole mad experience, you know, cause all the other local coffee shops shut down, and then Starbucks also shut down.
They did?
Yeah. At least for a brief period of time. And so we were the coffee shop open, and caffeine addiction is real. And so people would it was like people waiting over an hour for their drinks, but like that was as fast as we could go with the size of
y'all stayed open.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so I mean, like, you get to know your coworkers going through a situation like that very well. And, you know, they're still probably my best friends today.
Yeah, you're still hanging on to a lot of your friends from those days.
I'd say that's probably my happy experience that I can think of, is just people that I got to work with.
Yeah. Well, Audrey, what about you? Any kind of coffee experience that comes to mind? What about your coffee bar? Like, didn't you do something at your apartment with your house, like you've transformed part of it?
I turned a whole wall in my apartment to a coffee bar. It's actually legit.
Yeah.
It is legit. I got all the sauces, the syrups, a nice machine now.
What about
a little place to sit?
Do you grind your beans, or
I have a grinder.
Okay.
That's been nice. And it's like, I get Summer Moon beans.
Yeah, so it's like high quality coffee because it's good beans. And then I like it because you got the iced cups.
Oh yeah, I got to-go cups.
Yeah, so it's literally like you're getting like a cup from a coffee shop, because it's like
coffee
to-go
bar.
Cups.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a little sign, the Saccarello coffee bar, and you know, we know apartments aren't huge, and so to dedicate an entire wall to coffee,
it saves money.
That says something.
Yeah.
It really does. I would say we have saved a lot of money making our own coffee at home. It's been enjoyable, so it's just a lot different than it was for us, a few years ago when none of us liked coffee.
Diet Coke was about all we had.
Yeah.
Me and you, Amy.
That's how we got our caffeine
mix. And now
when
I'm at home at work, I work from home, so I'll get a text message from Amy when she's on her way. Put the dog door in, turn on the espresso machine.
That's right. Just about every day. Oh, that's good.
All right. I think that's going to do it for our coffee talk. We thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, you can email us at podcast@hensonfamily.me, podcast@hensonfamily.me. If you're considering adding a furry friend to the family, please adopt, don't shop, and we will catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening.